The very first thing that Jabez yelled out with great confidence to the Lord was, "Bless me! Bless me!" And I think we need to do that right now. I think we need to. If you're a person that really believes in the gifts of God, then shout to the Lord now, "Bless me, Father! Bless me, Father! Hallelujah! Bless me, Father! Praise you, Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" You may be seated. Sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? When you begin a prayer, "Bless me." Except back in biblical times, to be asked to be blessed had nothing to do with our modern view of blessing. There was nothing superficial about it, asking a blessing of the Lord. There's nothing material, nothing that was temporary, nothing that was flashy or impressive of, "Look what God has done for me." See, back in the day when you asked for the blessing of the Lord, let me say that again. Back in the day when you were asking for the blessing of the Lord, you know what you were asking for? You were asking for the roar of the Father to be behind you. Okay, I'm going to say that again. You are asking for the roar, the power of God to be behind you. This is where the success of a believer is. Success is not in what you have, even though God wants you to prosper. The success of a believer is not about what you do. The success of a believer is literally understanding who the Father is, who the Trinity is, Father God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You are asking for the roar of the Father to be behind you, just as David was reminding himself, speaking to his soul, of the gifts of God. You are asking for the supernatural investment of God. You are asking for something weighty and sacred and holy that God would provide, and only He can provide, that breaks every stronghold in your life. Nothing could come from your own resources when you're speaking of the blessings of God, or your ability, or even the works of your hands. So what Jabez was saying, "God, give me what only you can." I want to walk in a lifestyle that only God can do it. Amen? I want to have a life that the way I think, the way I feel, what I say is bathed around, "This is God doing it." Asking for the blessings of God is saying, "God, I need your presence. I need what you have. God, I need your power." Literally submitting yourself to the Lord. "Bless me. I want the order of my life to be what you say and not what I say." That's a blessing of God. And again, that's what King David was doing. King David was expressing to himself that everything he was, is, and going to be comes from the blessing of God that only God can do. So God, bless us. We've been talking about God-given benefits or gifts. And today I want to talk about something that I talked about before, but the middle part of my message today will be just a reminder of what we said before. But I want you to hear before and after that point. I want you to hear what Jabez said, what Jabez felt, and what Jabez understood. Please allow 2026 to be a year of supernatural satisfaction. I'll explain that today. In this series, we covered forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness, health, redemption, and last time together in crowning or reigning in this life, and what authority is really wrapped up in. It's wrapped up in the heart of God. Loving kindness and tender mercies. For us to be bathed in that realm of lifestyle. Supernatural satisfaction in every day. And we do this by continuing a life that develops a relationship with God that is intimate and personal. Can I ask you to stand with me one more time? And here's a realm of, we shouted, blessed me. But I want us to now make a decision to open up our heart, open up our mind, our religious thinking. We all have that. We all have our stuff. And open up our religious thinking for allowing the word that we're going to receive today to break through so that we can have the roar of the Father in everyday situations of our life. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you, thanking you for who you are, sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, to pay for our sins, to pay for our healing. It's a gift. You've given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to overwhelm us with revelation. Not of what we can do only, but who the Father is. Reveal this truth today. Reveal the Father, Son, and of yourself today, Holy Spirit, of who we are because we are created in the image and the likeness of God. And that when we invite the blessing of God in our life, it is about inviting the wholeness of God in our life. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I proclaim a healing power of God. Those that expressed to me this morning, early this morning, from the East Coast, in Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, that family member will hear the gospel and turn around and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Blessings upon our homes and our houses. Blessings upon what we put our hands to. As we understand, it's all about you, God. It's all about who you are in us. And we thank this and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. A supernatural satisfaction in every day of our life. And it comes by intimacy. It comes by a personal walk with God, being blessed by God. So again, what does it mean when God satisfies you? What does it mean when God satisfies? And there's this satisfaction that is so supernatural. In Psalm 103, let's read our scripture again, our theme scripture of the series. David is speaking to a soul, and he says, bless the Lord, there it is again, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This again is a habit that we are to allow ourselves to learn, is to speak to your soul, align yourself up with the truth, not with what's true going on around you. David is reminding his soul to not forget these benefits, to base his emotions on what God did, not what's happening. That sounds like a cliche, but literally it's a kingdom lifestyle. It's not a cliche. And the enemy wants to blind us and say it's just a cliche. We go through all this and we feel this, and we do. But the reality is, David is teaching us all through Scripture is that we must understand to speak to our soul and receive the blessings of the Lord. He lists the five benefits in Psalm 103. Verse 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And here's this week, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So what I'm going to do, again, I'm going to give you some questions, and we're going to answer those questions. And because of the time frame, I will go a little bit faster today, but you can watch this over and over online. So what is satisfaction? What do we mean by this satisfaction? Now, the English explanation I could give you, but let's just dive into the Old Testament. It was written in Hebrew, and let's look at the Hebrew word God uses here to be satisfied. The word used means to be made full or so full that you're on the verge of overflowing. So God wants to satisfy you with good thing, and it's on the verge of overflowing. Now this word that explains you are basically full of it. You are. You're full of it. And that's, I've been told that a lot in my life. I don't think they meant the good way, but you are so full of good things that you are becoming weary of good things. You ever had to take a nap after you ate a big meal? Because the best illustration is a buffet. My wife is out of town and studying and doing all the things that she's doing. And so I went to the Golden Corral. I know some of you are going, ugh. But they have the best liver and onions you could ever have. Oh, it's so good. How many can say yay and amen to that? Thank you, thank you. I know some of your faces look pretty bad. But I went and I stuffed myself. I was miserable. I literally sat in a car for 10 minutes. It's probably the best prayer I had all day long. Oh, God, help me. It says who satisfies, that's God. It's God that satisfied, nothing else. But that God satisfies your mouth. It speaks of your mouth, not your heart, with good things. Now, notice again, it doesn't say your heart. Even the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right, there's truth there. So we know verse 5 literally relates to the heart as well, because what is in the heart will come out of your mouth. But it doesn't say it satisfies your soul. But he satisfies, again, I know I'm saying this over and over because I want you to get this today. He satisfies your mouth. So the word satisfy in Hebrew is the Old Testament, and it's in the Old Testament 13 times, and only two times it's translated mouth. The 11 out of 13 times, I'll show you how it's translated in the Old Testament. And when I tell you what it's translated as, you're going to go, what? So what in the world is David saying here? What is the Holy Spirit saying through David? 11 times it's translated, here it is, I've covered this before, ornaments. Ornaments. Here's the reason. The word actually means in the Hebrew, horse mouth ornaments. Or a horse's mouth ornament. Our English word would be bridle. All right, so think about it. A horse's bridle has a bit, but when you look, the bridle part has all the ornaments on a show horse. So it's beautiful. So it's filling your mouth with beautiful things. So here's an explanation. Let's dig deeper. The bridle has a bit, and with that bridle, if you can control the mouth of the horse, you can control the body. So David is speaking to his soul, and he talks about that these gifts, these abilities, this blessing of God that is received by faith or through faith, the reality is what you're going to experience is that it also will align your body with the things of God. It will allow yourself and avail yourself to walk with the roar of God behind you, guiding you and allowing you and showing you what needs to happen in your life, the decisions you make in your life, and what it becomes is beautiful. It's the same exact thing that James says in the New Testament, James 3:3, about the tongue. The person who can bridle his tongue can control his body. It speaks of a controlled mouth. And right away, you all are thinking about cussing or whatever. It's deeper than that. See, to me, people who can't, you know, talk without a cuss word every five words, you know, they're ding-dongs. There it goes. I'd like to say another word, but I'm not going to say that because my mouth is controlled by God. It speaks of a controlled mouth. So here's what Psalm 103:5 is saying. God satisfies a person who can control his mouth with good things. Now, when you know this, thinking about your mouth, that there are two things. What are two things? Uh-oh, here we go. Don't go there, Pastor. I'm going to go there. Your words and your appetites. Not just your food appetites, but your appetites for material things. If you can't control your appetites, you will never be satisfied. Have you ever been around somebody that no matter what you say, what you do for them, they're never satisfied? Isn't that frustrating? God says, yes, I'm going to satisfy your mouth with good things, but here is the mouth I will satisfy. You see the play on words there? A mouth that learns to be under control. So God satisfies our controlled mouth with good things. Here's the second question. Well, again, we know this. Who satisfies? Well, who forgives? God. Who heals? God. Who redeems? God. Who crowns you? God. And God satisfies. So what I'm trying to do in the conclusion of this series is I'm speaking to very smart people. I'm speaking to wise people in Scripture. There are many of you. I know many that are watching online. Ministers are watching online with part of their congregations. And you teach the word, you read the word, you know the word, you pray, you fast, you tithe, you give offerings, you bless people, you're kind, you're loving, and you give tender mercies. But we must understand this. God is the only one that satisfies. You will never be satisfied by anyone or anything other than God. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart, backslider, someone who backslides on the inside, not the outside, will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Pastor Dan Ryan and I were talking about silver and gold and the prices of all that and how it's going up. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance will increase. This also is vanity. Psalm 145:16. I'll pause there. And some of you are watching are thinking of clicking me off because I'm speaking against prosperity. I'm not. When you understand this truth, you will prosper more than you could ever dream. Psalm 145:16. You, refers to the Lord, open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So please hear me. Nothing and no one can satisfy you except the Lord. That's why David reminds himself of who God is and the gifts of God. If you're looking for a new job, a promotion, a raise, a new house, a spouse, not another spouse, a spouse. Amen. A new car, a new situation, a recognition, whatever you're looking for, that's temporal, and it will not and cannot satisfy you. Nothing temporary can satisfy. Only things that are eternal can satisfy, and that is the Lord. That is the Lord. You can be in a bad circumstance or circumstances and still be satisfied. You can be in a job that doesn't satisfy you, but still be satisfied with it. Because you have an ongoing, vital, compassionate, head-over-heels relationship with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so vital, family. All that are watching online, it's so vital. Because you watch our world today and our world is not satisfied. Their mouth is not satisfied. You can be in an office that you don't want to be in, but sit there in the middle of it, be satisfied because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. How many people have just fallen over into the quagmire of life because they went with dissatisfaction? Because God wasn't everything to them. And they didn't understand the truth of what this is. So here's the third question. What is the result in your life of satisfaction? In the Book of Psalms 103 passage, it gives who gives the benefits. The last benefit he describes gives the result. The result is so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, before we explain this, let me ask you to turn to Proverbs 30, and I want you to follow. You can see it on the screen, but if you're clicking on your tablet, you can go there quickly, turn your Bibles. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 11, is describing the generation that we have watched. And I believe my generation on. Every generation is depicted in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. And we need to look at, if you follow me through the years, when I do leadership training or any kind of thing, I will always talk a lot about leadership and things that you do, why you do it, and then I will get to honor. Everything is based in a lifestyle of honor. Ephesians 6, verse 1 from the Message Bible says this, "Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life." It's honor which is a command with a blessing. In Proverbs 30, verse 12, back to Proverbs, says, "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes." In other words, pure in your own eyes, what they do is they call the impure pure, yet is not washed from its filthiness. Verse 13, "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." In other words, this pride, or pride in the world, or it's about me instead of about others. Verse 14, "There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." Think of the sarcasm in the world. We must know this is happening because people, what they want to do here is they want to, because people separate these in the next two verses. They don't put these together. Verse 15 and 16 of Proverbs 30. And I've taught on this a few times through the years, not just here in conferences. But verse 15 says, "The leech has two daughters called Give and Give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough." So he gives four analogies that are not satisfied. So what is he saying to us? Me included. You know, the tendency of an older guy to say the newer generation because there's new music, new things. I'm not being that older guy. I'm telling you, my generation included in this. Being prideful, disobedient to parents, they call the impure pure, and that they have sharp words or sarcasm out of their mouth. Even though truth is spoken, doesn't matter. This is what I believe. The reason why is this. They're never satisfied. And they're never satisfied because they don't have the roar of God behind them. They don't recognize that all these good gifts, Psalm 103, are from God and only God can do it. God is my healer. And I can believe, I can anoint with oil, I can do all the things that I do. But God is the healer. And we are to believe that and allow the roar, the power of God to be behind us when we anoint with oil, when we pray. But we've gotten to the place where the power of all these things that has the roar of God behind it has disappeared, has weakened in the church. And this is not a pointing a finger, I'm telling you. This is a ploy of the enemy to cause you to be dissatisfied in your life. Because the attitude is, it's about me. The entitlement generations. People work hard, but others are entitled for what you worked for. A leech is someone who is trying to get their life from someone or something rather than getting life from God. See, let's talk about marriage. My wife and I have been married 44 years. August will be 45 years. It's been wonderful. And she recognized that I'm not perfect, but she's close to that. But here's the reality. My marriage is not about me. My marriage is about her. And if she saw it right, I'll let her speak for herself. She's probably watching. Hi, honey. Is that it's not about her in her life, it's about me. That I create an atmosphere, even though sometimes it's not fair. I create an atmosphere where my wife can succeed. Bottom line, that's love. See, love isn't the flowers. Love is creating an atmosphere where my wife can succeed. Amen. Bottom line, that's it. Well, how do you have a successful marriage? Creating an atmosphere where my wife can succeed. Well, what if she doesn't do the same? I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. And you know, it's funny because we had some really good talks when we were out there together in South Carolina. And we had a long drive to feed ourselves. And we had this long drive and had this great discussion. And the discussion came back to, you know what? I'm just satisfied because I can do everything in my power to create an atmosphere for you to succeed. That's it. And the reason why I can do that is because I'm satisfied. Amen. My life, my satisfaction is not based on what my wife does for me. My satisfaction is what we just learned. That the roar of God is behind me. The power of God, the anointing of God is behind me. And everything that I do, even though it's hard. Yesterday it was tough. I was visiting people that lost their spouses. I was visiting another person that is on hospice. And I was around that all morning long. And I grabbed my grandkids in the afternoon and threw them in the pool and had dinner with them just because it was not a fun day. It was a great day of ministry. I was satisfied with that, but I'm emotional. How many here have emotions? Amen. And the reality is because the creation of what God did through me in causing a satisfaction in my home developed a life where I have four kids and eight grandchildren. And they're wonderful. Amen. They're wonderful. Not because they're perfect. I know they could tell you they are, but they're close to that. And so part of the roar of God is I'm blessed with the children I have. Do you see where that is? That satisfaction is. And I want to tell you that's exactly where it is. And sometimes, you know, in life it's tough. But when you understand that situation isn't the thing that makes you happy, or unhappy, that situation is something that you have the roar of God to walk through. The power of God to help you. Whatever you do, whether you're young or old, this truth is for you. This is for everyone. Because your goal in life is to have God bless me. The roar of God behind you. I could stop right here, but I'm not. Because I'm a minister and I talk a lot. Thank you. One out of how many? So let me give you the benefit of God's satisfaction. In Psalm 103, says their youth is renewed like the eagles. I have used this illustration before, but I just want to just, in the understanding of what we're talking about, I want you to allow me to just give you a little bit deeper truth in this. God chose the eagle as an analogy because the eagle is created by God and it did not evolve. It's created by God. An eagle can have a 7-foot wingspan and carry twice its weight. And the eagle's eyes are the size of our eyes, but they see 4 times more acutely, much better eyesight than us. And the eagle's eyesight never dims. They don't have an eye doctor in the tree somewhere. And an eagle gets new feathers every year. So your youth is renewed like the eagle's, and satisfaction produces that. When you are a person that has the roar of God behind you, that you will be renewed every single year. It's called new seasons. It's called breakthrough. This is what the scripture talks about all the time. And we have to get to the place of recognizing that Scripture just doesn't say things because it's poetic, even though at times it is. By the way, the main cause of the death of an eagle is drowning. Did you know that? It's drowning. You know why it drowns? Because it swoops down and grabs a fish bigger than it can carry, and it won't let go. How come you are at times grab stuff in your life that you can't carry? You're supposed to let God carry, and you drown in your stuff. We have to get to a place in our life that we understand that that roar of God is such an amazing thing. When you walk in the authority of God and you're walking in loving kindness and tender mercies and you're walking in healing, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. And you start doing that and basing it on what God, who he is, what he does, and then you receive it in faith, then you will begin to prosper in everything you walk in. See, with the eagle drowning, it's called greed, not being satisfied. So God says, I will make you soar like the eagles as long as you don't get greedy. So remind yourself that God's blessing overflows in your life, even in the midst of troubles. Even in the midst of troubles, I have found in my life that I have soared. I have soared in my life. Did my mind and my soul think, what do I need to do? And like that, or lay awake at night? Yeah. Until I reminded my soul like David did. And still I was like Jabez and said, bless me. I want the roar of God behind me. Until I did that, then I would be dissatisfied. But even in the midst of stuff, physically, whatever it is, I was satisfied. There was peace in my heart. I want you to recognize something that's so powerful, is that you are a person who can walk in a satisfaction that never can be changed. Now, I know some of the youth, you know, they can play a football game, a hockey game the next day, a baseball game the next day, basketball game the next day, and then they want to go for a run the next day. At my age, if I played a football game, I want to lay down for 5 days. But for many of us, it's good news that our bodies are renewed. Your youth is restored like the eagles. Here's the fourth question, and I'll close with this. How do you receive satisfaction? Again, it's by grace through faith. How do you receive benefits at your job? Some of you would say, well, because you're full-time, not part-time. Is it possible that benefits of God are for only full-time believers? I'll say it again. I want you to get it. Is it possible that full benefits are for people that fully believe and allow God to be God in their life? That those areas you struggle in, it's not about what do I need to do? No, what do I need to receive? I need to receive the benefit of God. I need to allow myself and avail myself to say, in this area of my life, I am doing this, and it's created problems for me, worry for me. Maybe I just need to change. And how you need to change? Well, I just need to go somewhere and, you know, and find some truth and find a book. Okay, yeah. Only if those things lead you to it's about God. I've read tons of leadership books. I've read tons of things. And many of them I've put down or given away after reading through half because they never talk about it's about God. Great things. This is what you do when you meet somebody, first meet somebody. But if God is not revealed in the lifestyle, then I'll tell you, everyone will always have a place in their life where they're dissatisfied. And I don't want you to be dissatisfied. I want you to be able to walk through the toughest time of your life and still be satisfied. And not defeat it. Even though you're on your face before God praying, believing. But see, here's your first thing you should say in your prayer. Instead of, oh God, you know what happened yesterday? You know what so-and-so said? And you know what? No. God, bless me. Bless me. What does that mean? I want to be. Isn't it amazing the satisfaction came right after David talked about loving kindness and tender mercies? Bless me. I'm a faith guy. I believe. Scripture tells me the healing's there. I believe that. It doesn't matter what I've experienced. As a pastor, I've done hundreds of funerals. I've seen every sickness and disease. I used to give a bath to a gentleman who had AIDS, who was a son of a couple in our church. I was around all this stuff. Been in hundreds of hospitals. You name it, it's there. No, I'm not a doctor, but I've heard a lot about medicine. But the reality is, with all that, Jesus Christ is my healer. Amen? My healer. Because he is who he is, not what I am or can do. Even though, when I understand the truth, I'm created in the image and likeness of God. And the truth, I can walk in the power of God, but I want the roar of God. The reason why that power is there is because I understand that God's there with me. And it's because his gifts that I receive through faith. Have you gotten anything out of this series? See, I've watched this body and so many that watch us online and many people that I work with who are leaders in churches. Man, I've watched people transform because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in breakthrough. And let me just say one other thing. As your pastor, those that are online didn't receive this. But when Dr. Mila has given us the notes of that prophetic word, you need to place that somewhere that you go over it every single day. Because I want to tell you, the prophetic words, I do that. I have it on my bedside. And I have it in the drawer. And I pull it out and I read it. And I say, God, what do you want me to know from this? Because a woman of God, gifted of God, called of God, has heard God and has proclaimed it to the church, the body of Christ. And to every one of you, the principles are always going to be the same. But your life is not the same as mine. Where you're at, what's going on in your life. And you need to read that over and over. God, what are you saying to me? Where are you taking me? Because you know what? That same Holy Spirit that gave the principle of it to Dr. Mila is the same Holy Spirit that will take that and give it to you as a prophetic word for you, a personal word to you. Now, I love being your pastor, but you don't need me to hear God. When you grab a hold of this truth, you will just explode in the areas of your life greater you've ever dreamed of. So how do you receive benefits at your job? Again, usually full-time employees. But let's become full-time believers of God. In every area of our life. Why did this happen? I don't know, but I know God. And the roar of God is there. And I promise you, the more you do this, that stuff where you used to say, I don't know why this happened, those things won't happen anymore. Because the roar of God's behind you, and he'll bust its chops before it attacks you. The Pharisees asked Jesus, tell us the work of God that we may do it. And you know what Jesus said? Believe. No, what do we got to do? What do I got to believe? Amen. Let's all stand. Psalm 103 benefits are for people who press into God on a daily basis. Because you know what you hear when you talk to people. Yeah, I've gone to church, but that stuff doesn't work for me. They become dissatisfied. Yeah, I know that's what you. Oh, you do that at church? You anoint with, you pray for this? Yeah. Oh, I've seen that. I had someone die. I don't. What are you going to believe? What are you going to do with that? First of all, you need to understand, they're dissatisfied. They're not walking in the blessing of God that Jabez cried out and David talked about. Blessed you with. He's talking about that Old Testament, New Testament, today's day principle of God. You do it this way. And I promise you, you will see that blessing come because what you do is you say, thank you, Lord. You're the one that does this. Holy Spirit might ask you to do something. He might ask you to maybe fast. He might ask you to do other things. But bottom line, bless me, God. I want the roar of God behind me. That's it. Man. Terry and I love you. We are overwhelmed by the leadership in this church, the staff, that just love Jesus with all their heart. I'm asking you to journey with me in this change if there's a need in your life. Yeah, we have level 4 of OSL, but we're going to begin level 1 again. Dive into it. We've had hundreds go through it already, but the reality is there's hundreds more that can. Bring your friends and your neighbors to church with you. And while they just won't, just be loving, be kind, be tender. Every person in the world that doesn't have God, total belief, what we talked about, they're dissatisfied. And when you begin to walk in that lifestyle towards them, you know what they're going to want? They're going to want what you have. They're going to want what you have at work. Not that you're preaching at work, because you can't. It's against the rules. But there's nothing they can stop when you're loving and you're kind and you're tender. And they see what you have. People always ask, what's different about you? My ears are bigger, whatever, I don't know. You know, what's different about you? They open the door. I don't say, well, I'm a pastor. There's an anointing on my life, and that's why it glows. Do you see, I don't walk on the ground. I never have to change shoes because my soles never wear out. A lot of people think that way about each other or themselves. You know what I say? Everything about me, I want about Jesus. Amen. That's it. Everything about you is about Jesus. That's your DNA. That's your title. That's your promotion. That's the name of your school. Or you're a Ram fan who loves Jesus with all your heart. Everything about you. Amen. That's what it is. Can I pray for you? And let me just get personal. All those that are watching us, can I pray for you? Let's pray. In Jesus' name, I proclaim the blessing of God, because it's real. It's right. Lord, I've done what you asked me to do, to remind every soul here of your gifts that we receive through faith. Let our lives shine greater than they've ever shined before. Whatever words that people have said to us that is unkind or mean, in Jesus' name, that doesn't matter, because we know how you feel about us. We know our identity is not in what we do, but in who you are in us. Overwhelm us with that truth. Thank you, Lord, for healing, restoring lives. Lord, minister to our children and our grandchildren, our nieces and our nephews. Lord, with all this world today, there's such mental anguish, demonic influence. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And I loose the power of God in our families, the anointing of our hands as we go, not because of our hands, but because what's behind our hands, and that's a blessing of God. Reveal that in a greater way to us, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 6:00 in all the Bible studies.